the Gemara on Dalet Amid Aleph, where the Gemara was quoting all the different Tanoim. In order for the woman to be Asura al Baila, you have to have Kinu Yastira. Her husband has to warn her al Tistri and Mishplaini, and has to really be Choshed her Biznus, and then she has to have the Stira. So the Stira is that they go together into a room and they stay there for a while. So how long is that? So each Tana gives a different Shir. How long it takes to do Tashmish. The Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, Tosis on Amid Aleph quotes the Yerushalmi, if the woman is all dressed, she can't do Tashmish because Manta, she's dressed. So all of these opinions that the Tanaim are saying, this is after you take off your clothes. So you have to add on another 2 minutes, however long it takes to take off one's clothes. So one of the Tanaim said, on Dalet Amid Aleph, around 10 lines from the top, where it says on the side, Mishlei Perek Vav. So one Tana says, the amount of time that it takes, Plema Oimer, Kadesh Toshid Yoda Lissa Little Kiker. The amount of time that it would take for a woman, for a man, it doesn't make a difference, for a person to put his hand into a basket that has rolls, and she should take out the roll. So the Gemara wasn't sure whether the rolls are hard or soft, are they wheat, are they barley, what kind of a basket is it? Is it a smooth basket? Is it a basket where the rolls may have gotten caught? We're not sure exactly how long that is.
You're talking seconds, really, aren't you? Seconds.
Yeah. Very, very brief. Less than a minute. That's what it sounds like. So he says, so Plemo says, Alpha Pishen, right? A remis from a pasuk is, the pasuk says something about a roll of bread in connection with an Isha Zaina. So he says the amount of time that it takes to be mezana with a woman is the amount of time it takes to pick up the kikah lechem from a basket. So obviously that's not the real pshat in the pasuk. The Gemara says afal pi shein ra'i l'dov v'zeich l'dov. That's only a remez. It's only an asmachta. So the Gemara wants to know on Amid Beis. That's where we left off last week, about six lines from the top of Dalet Amid Beis. Dorash Rav Avira. Avira was once speaking in public. Zimnin amala mishmei de rabbi. Zimnin amala mishmei de rabasi. Abami Rabasi were two Rabbanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the same time. There was Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were two Rabbanim who lived in Bavel, who were contemporaries. In Bavel they didn't have smicha, so they're called Rav Ami, Reverend. Rav Ami and Rav Asi. In Eretz Yisrael you can give smicha, so these were four different people. There was Rebbe Ami, and Rebbe Asi means Rabbi. They had real had smicha, they were in Eretz Yisrael. So this Rav Avira said over, sometimes he said it in the name of Rabbi Ami, sometimes he said it in the name of Rabbi Asi. He said the following, the Chachamim made a takana, you have to wash until the yadayim before you eat bread. So if a person eats bread without washing until the yadayim, is compared kilu bo'al isha zayna, is compared to one who is mezana with a woman. Shenemar, kibiyad isha zayna ad kikar lachem. Eating the loaf of bread without washing is the equivalent of being bo'al al isha zayna. That's obviously not the Poshib shot in the pasuk. Oh, my Rava, so Rava says it's
he
not.
He said it in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes Rav Asi. He didn't remember?
Probably didn't remember which one. Maybe they both said it. Yeah. So that's what he says on a pasuk. So Rava says, that's obviously not the pshat on the pasuk, that one who eats bread, what does it say anything about until he said die? He eats bread without washing is equivalent to Baal Isha Zayin. Oh, my Rava. So Rava Tain is the way you're saying the pasuk doesn't read straight. Hai bi'ad Isha Zayin ad kikalechem. It sounds like one is Baal Zayin is going to lead to something kikalechem. You should say faket, ba'ad kikalechem. One who eats a loaf of bread is equivalent to ad Isha Zayin meboiler. The pasuk is backwards. El, oh, my Rava. So Rava says, no, the pshat in the pasuk is, and that's the pasuk pshat. What Rava says is the pshuta shal mikra, kol haboal isha zayna. If a person is going to fool around with a prostitute, the end of the story is he'll lose all of his money, and then lebesof mevakish kikalach, he'll have to go shnore bread. He'll lose his job, he'll lose his panos, he'll lose his savings, and then he'll have to go beg for bread. So that's the mefarshim say mishle. That's the pashim shat in the pasuk. Ad isha zayna, ad kikalach. Because he's having an affair with a zayna, this will lead to poverty. He'll lose all of his money. But once the Gemara mentioned about until he said daim, so they continue on that thing. Amar Rab Zreike, Amar Rab Lazar, we're on Dalet Amid Beis, about 10 lines from the top. Kol HaMezalzel Ben Until He Said Daim. See, there's a person, once in a while he doesn't wash until he said daim, so he's doing wrong. HaMezalzel means It's all the time. Yeah, how does Rashi write? Tamid. He always eats bread without washing on the Tilasidai. It's an avera to eat even once bread without until the Tilasidai. But this punishment, call him a zalzal if he's only midirabbanan. Yeah, it's a takana b'rabbanan. It's not a diminator. It's a major machloikes harishonim. What is a takana of Netilas Yadayim all about? You need Netilas Yadayim whenever, if a kohen wants to eat truma, so he has to wash Netilas Yadayim. What is that all about? So the din is the first daf in Brochus. When we learn Brochus, the first daf in Brochus, then one quotes a Mishnah, when a person is tummy, he's not permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. It says, in the Vida Maisa, you say, I didn't consume Maisa Sheni in a state of tumma. So you see from the Pasuk, one is not permitted to eat Maisa Sheni when in a state of tumma. What if a person is tummy, he's tovel in a mikveh? Shine. He went to the mikveh, so the minute after he comes out from the mikveh, he's tahar, he's permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. He's still not permitted to eat truma if it's a kohen, and he went to the mikveh, he's not permitted to eat truma until you have Hira Shemesh. The Pasuk says, Avo Shemesh v'tahir. You have to wait till it says a kechavim, and then he's permitted to eat truma. And what if he wants to eat karbonis, or he wants to eat, or he wants to enter the Beis Hamikdash? So there are four tmeim whose tahara is not yet completed. He went to the mikveh and he waited till tzeis a kechavim afterwards, and he's still tame until he brings a karbon. It's not a karbon for kapara purposes. It's a karbon to complete the tahara series, the tahara process. So the four people who need the carbon to complete the tahara are Zab, Zava, Yoledis, and Mitzor. These four people, even after the Tovel and the Mikveh, and they're allowed to eat Maisur Sheni, and after they have Hirav Shemesh, if they're Kohanim, after they have Hirav Shemesh or Eishes Kohen, then they're allowed to eat Truma. They're still not permitted to enter the Beis Hamikdosh or to eat Kachim, to eat Karbonis, until they bring the carbon. That's called Abo Mechusri Kapara. It's not really a carbon for kapara purposes, but that's the lashon. Kapara usually is an expression that means karbanis. Then the Mishnah says there's one Tana says there's a fifth person who has to bring a carbon that's not for kapara. It's not a carbon for kapara purposes like the ger. The ger today, bismanazel, we have gerim, so they're Jewish. They're 99% Jewish. They're missing a little bit. Kolzman, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, they didn't bring the Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash. The Ger, Kolzman, he didn't bring Karbonis and Mikdash, is still considered a non-Jew with respect to eating Karbonis. Every Jew has to participate in Korban Pesach, whether you like it or not, even if you're a vegetarian. When it comes Leil Pesach, you have to eat a Korban Pesach. Or every Jew, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to, but if he wants to, he can eat Shlomim, he can eat the Besar Shlomim, he has to be in a state of Tahara to eat Shlomim. So if a Ger converts, he went to the mikveh, and he had a bris milah, and he has kabbalas on mitzvah, everything, 100%. 100%, 100%, it's only 99%. He's still considered a non-Jew till he brings the carbon. And then once he brings the carbon, now he's a full-fledged Jew. Now he's 100% Jew. The same to a gyaris, a man or a woman. Right.
So he's part of eating a carbon.
He's not permitted to eat any carbon. Right? He's not permitted to eat a carbon. Yeah. There are sameach, has a chiddush, that there's a mishnah in Psochim, where there's a machlokes b'sham b'sila. Let's say a ger converts on erev Pesach, is he permitted to participate in the korban Pesach or not? Why not? What's the problem? So b'sham said, what's wrong? He was just my guy. Why can't he eat the korban Pesach? B'sila made exera de rabbanon. A non-Jew is not mekabel tuma. A non-Jew who's alive is not mekabel tuma. A non-Jew is dead is ames, is metamei like a Jew. But a non-Jew who calls man is alive, he's not mekempi a tuma zav zav yaleh, he doesn't have any tuma, he's not mekabel tuma. So maybe this non-Jew who converted on Erev Pesach, maybe just went to a funeral yesterday, the day before, and he's not mekabel tuma, and Leil Pesach will participate in the Korban Pesach. Next year he'll remember, last year I went to a funeral 2 days before Pesach, and the rabbis allowed me to eat the Korban Pesach. So I'll do the same this year. And he won't realize that last year he was a goy, when he went to the funeral, he wasn't a kabbal tumah. He'll ask a shayla this year, and they tell him it's okay, you can eat Korban Pesach. And next year he won't realize that it's a different story. Next year he was already Jewish.
So this Silla made exera de rabbanon, ha-parishman ha-orla, ki-parishman ha-kever.
If a non-Jew converts, he has his bris milah, and he's toivel in the mikvah, and Erev Pesach, ha-parishman ha-orla, a gershim nizgar na pesach kiparish ben akever. We treat it as if he's a tummy mace. He can't bring a carbon pesach until 7 days go by. So if he was just megayir on erev pesach, so he has to bring pesach sheni. We wouldn't allow him to bring pesach rishon. So that's the discussion in the Mishnah. Machlekes b'sham and misil. B'sham said there's no problem. Misil afraid that it'll get confused for next year, so we don't permit him to bring carbon pesach. So the Yosamech is asking your kasha. The Mishnah says he was megayir on erev pesach. It doesn't say that he brought the carbon agar. Agar shenizgar has to bring an oila. Either an oilas behema or an oilas oif. Usually they brought oilas oif. It's much less expensive. Oilas behema is going to cost a few hundred dollars. Oilas oif will cost $25. It'll be much less expensive. How come the Mishnah doesn't say? So that's the chiddush that the Sameach has, that the korban pesach counts as the korban hager. Because in Chumash it says, Mishchu kolachem tzon v'shachatu ha-posach, in Parshas Boy. So to the Mechilta, Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, from the Tanaim, Mishchu yedechem me'avoydezore. The Jews have to be megayer now and bring a korban pesach to demonstrate the Egyptians used to worship the holy cow. They used to worship animals. So by shechting the korban pesach, the Jews were putting their lives in danger. They're shechting the avoydezore of the Mitzrim. So that was a mesiris nefesh on their part. So whoever participated in Shechitas Korban Pesach was demonstrating that he's rejecting all the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim, and he's subscribing to the belief in monotheism, that there's only one God in heaven above and all of this is baloney. Everything is a fake. So that's what the Yer Samech suggested, that not only was the original Pesach Mitzrayim a Korban Hager throughout all the future generations, a Ger who's Megayer, a month or two, or whatever, before Pesach, he doesn't have to bring a Korban Hager and then bring Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach can be a lakan lakan. The Korban Pesach will serve as the Korban Hager, and he'll eat for that Korban Pesach. That's his Chiddush. What did the Rabban? Normally, he brings a Korban Hager. Right? So that's the Ursamech Chiddush. That's his big Chiddush. The Gemara says they made exer that all the non-Jews have a din like a zav because they were afraid of homosexuality. That the goyim were very involved in this. They were afraid that the Jewish children will play with the nochrim, mm-hmm. and they'll get them involved in all kinds of averis. So that he can't explain to the little children, you can play all you want with the goy, but be careful, don't get involved in mishka zacha. So they told him, if you touch a goy, you tell me. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, in the days of the Tanaim, if that's something you become tummy, such a big tirch, you have to go to the mikveh. So the little children knew not to touch a nochri. They stayed away. The Gemara says that was the whole purpose of the gzera was. So they made gzera. All nochrim have a status like a zav. Yeah, that was gzera.
That's why they were tummy in the Beis HaMikdosh. They were tummy the candle mechanically.
Yeah, Taisus is not sure whether that gzera that they declared all the goyim have a tumah like a zav, was that instituted before the story of Chanukah, or was that later? So Taisus is not sure. Timu kol hashmonim. How were they metami the shemen? Because all the non-Jews are dinim kizav, and they were handling all of the jugs of oil, and they were metami it by handling it, or because there were dead bodies all over in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was tumas meis. So Taisus is not sure what the nature of the tumah was. It's a historical suffix in Taisus. When were the goyzer tuma ala nochrim, tuma kizav? Years ago, there used to be a professor of Jewish history. He was very shvach in Talmudics, Solomon Zeitlin. He's known for his book. Says, who killed Jesus? Solomon Zeitlin. that's what he's known for, that book. He used to be the dean of Dropsy College in Philadelphia. So he was hacking years ago when Ben-Gurion started. That was over 50 years ago. No, when Ben-Gurion started Nihu Yehudi, that was a century ago, over 50 years ago. So so Ben-Gurion said, you don't need Kabbalah on mitzvahs, and you don't need tefillah in the mikvah. All you need is a milah. You have a bris milah, and you say you want to become Jewish, right? So that's a Yehudi, Nihu Yehudi. So all the rabbanim were tumbling at that time. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Ben-Gurion sent out letters to many rabbanim and to many Jewish thinkers. So they put out a book. Mihu Yehudi has a collection of all the letters. Has Rab Chaim Heller with the Rab sent a letter together. Many other rabbanim sent letters. They were all disagreeing with Ben-Gurion. So at that time, this Solomon Zeitlin gave a suggestion. He says, Ben-Gurion is right. Min HaTorah, all you need is a bris milah. The reason why the goyim need tefillah when they convert, because they have a tumah like a zav. Azav has to go to mikveh to remove the tumah. And that's why they have to bring a carbon, because a zav is the tahara process of the zav. The zav is zav, yaletis, and mitzora are the four people who are tome, and they don't get rid of the tuma unless they bring a carbon. So he says, that's why the ger has to bring a carbon, because of the din derabanan, that he has a tuma like a zav. It's like a joke. A zav has to have maim chaim. A ger does need maim chaim. It's in God's in a different kind of a mikveh. He didn't understand the difference between maim chaim and not maim chaim. And then they argue the zav has to bring a chatos. The ger doesn't bring a chatos. The ger brings an oilot. There's no chatos bob in a dove. The whole thing just doesn't make any sense. He didn't know the details. He didn't know what karbonis the zav brings, one karbonis the ger brings, a mikveh and a maim. He didn't know the difference between anything. Very shvach. I remember there was one year where they were middle states came to the yeshiva to evaluate the school to determine what level they're on. So they came to listen to Rav Soloveitchik Shir also, and they came into the kollel to see what's going on. So they sent this professor Zeitlin, and the kollel was learning that year Bava Kama. So this Zeitlin walked over to one of the boys in Beis Medrash. He said, "Did you learn this sugya of Yir Shalom Midas yet?" So the boy tells him that's in Bava Metziah. So he said, "Oh, he didn't know which mesichta." Yerushalayim Midas and Bava Kama. It's from the shvache Talmid Chacham. Yeah. So getting back over here. So the din is the din is that for the purpose of a tahor, a tami is not permitted to eat ma'aser sheni, not permitted to eat truma, not permitted to eat karbon, not permitted to enter the Beis Hamikdash. If a person is tami, he goes to mikveh. Tavol v'yolai comes out of the mikveh, oichel b'maiser. He's permitted to eat maiser sheni. Right. Right. I didn't. I got to go back to the hakdama. For the purpose of eating trumer, so the Mishnah says that's not enough, not sufficient that he goes to the mikveh. You have to have hair of shimshon, because the pasuk says of v'ashemesh v'toher. And then for the purpose of entering the Beis Hamikdash, for the purpose of eating korbanas, a shlomim, whatever, a korban pesel, whatever, so that's still not enough. There are four people who are tameh, even though they had tefillah in the mikveh, harav shemesh, still not enough. They have to bring a special korban. That's the zav zavi oledes and mitzvah. Those are the four tameim who are called mechusri kapar. Their tahara process is not completed until they bring a korban. So you see from the chumash that the laws of tumah v'tahara are more chomer by truma than they are by ma'aser sheni, than they are by chulin. You see, by truma, Kozman, you didn't have Harav Shemesh, he's still called Tomei. For Chulin or for Ma'aser Sheni, once he's Tovel in the Mikveh, Tovel V'Yola, he's Echel B'Ma'aser, he's allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni. So the Gemara has the following system. The Gemara has, if a person attends a funeral, so he becomes an Av HaTumah. So how is that? The Tumah is transmitted from the Mace to all the people who attend the funeral. If you touch a Mace or in the same oil a Mace, so you become an Av HaTumah. So just to understand how that works, so the Chachamim invented a new expression. We call a mace Avi Avos HaTumah. He's a higher level of Tumah. It's a lotion that they invented. So the Tumah, when it's transmitted, always goes down one madriga. So one who comes in contact with a mace, so the Tumah goes down instead of being Avi Avos. So I come to the funeral, I become an Av HaTumah. I come out of the funeral, I come home and I shake your hand in shul. So you become a Rishon LeTumah. Because whenever the tumah is transmitted, it goes down a level. So I was an Av HaTumah, you're a Rishon LeTumah. Then if you touch Oichlim Homashkim, you make that into a Sheni LeTumah. So that's as far as it goes. Tumah by Chulin can only go to the level of Sheni. And now if the Oichlim Homashkim will touch something else, it doesn't go to the level of Shlishi. But by Tumah, we see that by Truma, even one who went to the mikveh didn't have Harav Shemesh is still considered Tomei. So you see that the Tumah, with respect to not being allowed to eat the Truma, is more chomer than Chulin. So that's why we say, if the Sheni Latuma, let's say, I went to the funeral, I came, I'm an Av HaTumah, I shook your hand, you become a Rishon Latuma, you touch, Oichel makes it into a Sheni Latuma. So if that Sheni Latuma touches Truma, the Truma will become a Shlishi. By Chulin, the Tumah only goes to the level of Sheni, doesn't go past that. And by Truma, it goes to the level of Shlishi. By Kochim, you see that even after Harav Shemesh, he's still not allowed to eat Kochim. You have to have heavy kaparosai. By the Zav Zav, Yoledes, and Mitzorah, by those four people, they're mechuyev to bring a korban for the Tahara process. So you see that by with respect to Tumah V'Tahara, with respect to Kochim, is more delicate, it's more susceptible to Tumah. It's more Chomer than by Truma. So they made this already made the Rabbanon, so they made a din that by Kachim, there's even Revi Bakodesh. And as far as Kachim is concerned, that's the end of the, that's the last stop, it doesn't go any further. Then the Tosefta has the fifth Madrege by Paraduma. If the Kachim, that's a Revi Bakodesh, you can't, Chulin can't be a Revi Bakodesh. It can't be Revi. The lowest level of Tumah can have is going to be a Sheni. After Sheni, the Tumah doesn't exist on Chulin. The lowest level of Tumah you can have by Truma is going to be a Shlishi. There is no Revi. But if the Truma, which is a Shlishi, is going to touch Kachim, it'll make it into a Revi. So if the Revi will touch Efer Parah, the water from the Paraduma, that'll make it into a Hamishi, and that's the end of the line. There's Revi, there's Shlishi by Truma, and there's Revi by Kodesh, and there's Hamishi by Paraduma, and that's the end of the line. So far, so good. So now there's a din men haTorah. A person is either tummy or tahor. There's no such thing. Part of my body is tummy, part of my body is tahor. Let's say a person is tummy, he goes into the mikveh a limited time. He's afraid to submerge his whole body under the water at one time. You're going to say, well, now his arm became tahor, now the leg became tahor, the next leg became tahor. It doesn't work like that. The whole body is either tummy or tahor. There's no such thing as tahara lachatzon. So midirabbanan, they invented such a din. The hands can be sheni latuma, and the rest of the body is tahor. On the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. Then secondly, there's another chumra midirabbanan, that the hands are sheni latuma. On the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. Adam, from the four, there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. In the whole wide world, there are only four categories. Adam mekelim, ochlam amashkim. So adam mekelim can only be mekabel tumah from an av hatumah. If you have a rishon letumah, I went to the funeral, I'm an av hatumah. If I shake your hands, you're a rishon letumah. If you'll touch someone else's hands, adam mekelim, you won't make him tumah. You won't make the kelim tumah. Adam mekelim can only be mekabel tumah from an av or from an avi avoy, something worse than an av hatumah. Ochlam amashkim can be mekabel tumah from toldus. Anything past the yav is already called toldus. So if you have a rishon letumah can only be metameh ochlam amashkim. So you can never have an adam who's going to be a sheni letumah. It doesn't exist. How can you be getting a sheni? An adam came in contact with a rishon. A rishon can only be metameh ochlam amashkim. Can't be metameh adam mekel. So the Chachamim made Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, because Truma is more susceptible to Tumah than Chulin, that it can even become a Shlishi, and you need Harif Shemesh in order to eat Trumah. Truma is Machomer, so they made a Dimah D'Rabbanan, that Stam Yadayim Ashniya. Stam Yadayim means when a person wakes up in the morning and all day long he's busy, he's touching all kinds of things, maybe he touched the Dabba Tumah, maybe he's Tumah. If he's really, maybe he's Tumah, so the whole body is Tumah. So we assume he would probably remember if he became Tommy. The Bisman is there, no one pays attention. But Bisman that they were careful, they were Nizra and Tumah Vatara, if a person thinks that he touched the Dabba Tommy, he'll remember it. He has to go to the mikveh. So Bisman that they were still medactic on Tumah Vatara, so a person would really remember. So this is a Chumra Midirabbanan. The Stam Yadayim, in the course of the day, people touch all kinds of things. So maybe he touched the Dabba Tommy, and maybe his hands became a sheni letumah. If he really touched the Dabba Tameh, if he touches a rishon letumah, it doesn't affect him at all. If he touches an avatum, the whole body becomes tameh. So on the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. The whole thing is a chumra midirabbanan on two accounts. An adam can never become a sheni, because an adam can only be adam and can only be mekabel tumah from an avar above. An av is going to make him a rishon, not going to make him a sheni. And secondly, there is no such thing in Torah as part of the body is tameh, the rest of the body is tameh. So they invented with the Rabbanon a thing that doesn't exist on the level of the rice. Stam Yadayim Shniya saying, so if your hands are Tomei Sheini, if you touch Truma, you make it into a Shlishi. You touch Truma, you make it into a Shlishi. So they made two dinim. Number one, you're not allowed to touch Truma unless you wash until it's Yadayim. If you touch Truma, you just made it into a Shlishi, and the Kohenim are not allowed to eat it. Number two, if I'm, let's say I wear gloves, and I won't be touching the Truma, or someone else will be feeding me. I have my hands behind my back. I'm not going to touch the truma, and someone else will feed me. But if part of my body is tummy, I'm not allowed to eat truma. Not only if my neck and my stomach is tummy, even if my hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tummy, which on the level of the rice is non-existent. How can you have the hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tummy? But that's where they made a din midirabbanan stam yadayim ashniya saying. So they made two dinim over here. Din number one, if the hands are stam yadayim, it's a sheni, touches truma, anyone who touches truma just made it shlishi, so you're not allowed to eat, no one's allowed to eat that truma, the kohen can't eat the truma. And number two, a kohen whose hands are tameh is not permitted to eat truma until he's mitahir the hands. So if a person's whole body is tameh, he has to be tovel in a mikveh. If only his hands are tameh, so then the Mishnah has, there are two ways to be mitahir the hands. Either go to a mikveh, stick your hands into the mikveh, but that's a big pain in the neck to go to a mikveh and lean over just to stick your hands in. You need a whole mikveh of aboyim so just for the hands. So since the whole tum is on him, there are abundance, sahem omru, behem omru. So they said, if you have a cup, if you have a kli, that's called a natla. You say a bracha al natilas yadayim, because the word natla means a cup. So if you take a cup and you pour water on the right hand, pour the water on the left hand, so that removes the tumah. Just like if you dip your hands in a mikveh, the hands become tahar. So if you pour water on your hands, you have to have a reverse of water in the container. Pour water on the hands, it removes the tumah on the hands. So Rashi quotes, here, there's a long Rashi over here. On Dalet Amud Beis, very long Rashi, but he quotes the Mishnah in Yadayim. So the Mishnah says in Yadayim like this: if a person is tovel, a person is tamei and it's tovel in a mikveh. So the pasuk says he becomes tahar, and the water of the mikveh does not become tamei. The pasuk says ach mayon abor mikveh mayim yihya tahar. So the pasuk means two things: if a person is tovel either in a mikveh or a mayon, there are two kinds of mikveh. That's what we said before. A zav can't be tovel in a normal mikveh that we have. It has to be tovel in a mayon. A mayon is mayim chayim, where the source of the water is from underground fountains. Be'er. There's a bor and there's a be'er. So bor means the rain was collected or the snow melted, and it's a cistern, and it's stagnant water. A bor has to be kovel b'kaimi. Mikveh means kovel b'kaimi, standing still. If you have rainwater and it's rolling down the side of the mountain or it's rolling on the ground, that's called zeichlin, that's a psul deraisa. Because the word mikveh by definition means cover the kaimi, the water is standing still. On the other hand, a be'er maim chai means that dafke, the water is rolling, the water is moving. The source of the water is from under the ground. The water from under the ground also comes, there's a water cycle. The Tanaim knew about the secret of the water cycle. All the water comes from the clouds. It rains and it goes back up. It evaporates, keeps on going up and down, up and down. So they knew that all the water comes from the clouds. But still, the immediate source of the water is not the rain and the melting snow, but rather from the underground fountain, from the mayon. That's called the be'er. A be'er is a mayon, and a bor is a mikveh, stagnant water. So the din is that a zav, in order to get rid of tum azav, a zav needs dafke maim chaim. A zav cannot be tovel in a mikveh. That's what they brought to the attention of this professor Zeitlin, his whole ridiculous suggestion that the gersh and his gar has to go to the mikveh is only with the rabbanon, because the chachamim declared the goyim like a zav. So they said he should need maim chaim then. So he didn't know what to answer. He didn't know that there are two different kinds of mikvehs. He didn't know that there's a be'er maim chaim, a mayon, and then there's a bor, which we call a mikveh. So the pasuk says, ach mayon, a bor mikveh mayon, whether mikveh A, a mikveh B, whichever one you have, yihi atohar. What's the pirush amilis yihi atohar? So it means two things. Number one, a person is tummy who's toivel either in a mayon, a bear mayon chaim, or in a mikveh, yihi atohar, I become tohar. Number two, the water remains tohar. The water, you don't say, my body is tummy. So if I'm tummy, I stick my finger into the tea, so I make all the tea in the cup tummy. But over here, my body is tummy. If I'm tevel and a mikveh and a mayon, so the water in the mikveh mayon is not mekabel tumah. The water will be tar. So if a person, let's say, he has stam yadayim shnias, he wants to eat truma, he wants to touch truma, and he wants to be tevel his hands in a mikveh. So tevel the hands in his mikveh, fine. So the water in the mikveh is not mekabel tumah. But if he wants to remove the tumah by pouring water, netilas yadayim, then the Mishnah says, when you pour the water the first, you need mayim shniim. When you pour the water the first time, it removes the tumah from the hands, but the water is mekabel tumah from the hands. So the water is tumah, so you're going to have tumah dika water. So how are you going to deal with that? So the halacha requires you have to pour another cup of water. You have to first pour a little water on the right hand, then pour a second time on the right hand. Then you pour once on the left hand, then you pour a second time on the left hand. The mayim rishonim, the first time you pour the water, that's to remove the tumah from the hands. But the water is mekabel tumah from the hands now. So you have to pour mayim shniim to chase away the mayim rishonim. That was kach tiknu chachamim. So that's mishnayis in yadayim. That's with respect to a kohen who wants to eat tumah. He wants to get rid of the tumah sayadayim. Or with respect to a non-kohen who wants to touch tumah. Let's say there's a chef, and there's a cook, and he wants to prepare food, he wants to cook truma for a kohen. He has to be careful, even though he's not a kohen, he's not going to eat the truma, but he has to be careful not to touch the tumah with his hands at a stam yadayim shnei zayin. He has to remove the tumah from his hands. So the purpose of netilas yadayim for one who wants to eat tumah, touch tumah, is to remove the tumah sayadayim. Let's say there is a din midirabanan. If you touch a sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah, it's metamei sayadayim. That's mishnayis and yadayim like that. It looks as if the sefer Torah is a dirty thing. That is metamei sayadayim. So the tzedukim are making fun of the chachamim. If you touch a book of Homerus, if you touch a book written by Homer, it's not metamei sayadayim. That's holy. If you touch a sefer Torah, it's metamei sayadayim. Isn't it a bizoyan to say that sefer Torah is dirty? So the chachamim say no. That's the din. Homer doesn't have any chashivas. The Sefer Torah, they declared Sefer Torah is Mitamei Sayadayim. Question is, why? What kind of a din is that? Why is the Sefer Torah an invention mid the Rabbanon? Why is it did such a din if you touch the Sefer Torah, you touch the Eitz Chaim of the Sefer Torah, you touch the Tefillin, huh? So the Gemara has up to two reasons. So one reason is, the Kohanim used to hide the Truma next to the Sefer Torah, because this is Kodesh and this is Kodesh, and then wherever you put the Truma is food, so the mice will be attracted, mice will smell it, and they run to eat, to nibble the truma, the food. When the mice are busy nibbling the food, they're going to start nibbling on the Sefer Torah also, so they're going to ruin the Sefer Torah. So they made a din mit Rabbanon that the Sefer Torah is metamis hayadayim, and memela, it makes it into a sheni. Memela, if the Sefer Torah touches the truma will become tummy, truma will become puzzle. So this is to prevent people and putting the truma next to the Sefer Torah. That's one reason the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives another reason that the Gemara says, Oicha Sefer Torah Orum, Nikba Orum. There's a din, you're not allowed to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah. The Eitz Chaim you're allowed to touch. That's why they made an Eitz Chaim on the Sefer Torah. But the parchment of the Sefer Torah you're not allowed to touch. So a lot of people violate that din. So to be mechazik that din, that you're not allowed to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah, so they added on, whoever touches the Sefer Torah, his hands become tummy. So that's giving teeth to this din. Out of respect for the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to touch it with bare hands. Oicha Sefer Torah Orum, with your bare hands, is an Aveira. So to serve as a deterrent, they said, whoever touches the Sefer Torah, it's metami Sayyidai. So these are the two reasons that the Gemara gives in two different.
Why is it an Aveira for Orum? I mean, how did it spot? I mean, you touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands.
It's not proper.
It's just not proper.
It's improper. You're not permitted to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Disrespectful. Mm-hmm. A sign of respect sometimes is to be withdrawn, to stay away. Like it says in the last pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, "Lo yabol liris kevala sakodesh v'meis." Out of respect for the kelim and the mishkan when they were traveling, so no one was allowed to be there when the levim would put the kelim into the cloth containers, into the big day hasrod. That they covered them up with. So there's a din that you shouldn't be so buddy-buddy, you shouldn't be so friendly with Dvarim HaKadosh. So out of respect for the parchment of the Sefer Torah, you shouldn't touch the parchment, you shouldn't touch the Sefer Torah.
But the tzitzis, you're allowed it.
Yeah, tzitzis is not an issa. Yeah. There's a machlekes, the Beis Yosef quotes a machlekes HaRishonim. What about a Megillah Sester? Megillah Sester doesn't have an Eitz Chaim. So is there an issa to touch the Megillah Sester with your bare hands? The Gemara says, Oicha Sefer Torah Orum. If you touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. So one opinion is it only applies to the Sefer Torah, does not apply to Nevi'im Aksuvim. The other opinion is no, it also applies to Nevi'im Aksuvim. So why, how come a Mekel by Megillah says that everybody touches with the bare hands? And the Mishnah Brura quotes that there is a Gemara in the first Perek in Shabbos where the Gemara talking about these Dinim, the Rabbanan, the Yudches Gzeiris. There was one fine day when the Beis Shammai, like in Congress, sometimes they look around who's there and then they ram through laws because the people are going to be makkah, they're not there. So one fine day, the Beis Shammai realized that they were in the majority. The people from Bishil were on holiday or something. So they voted on that day 18 Gzeiris derabbanan against the Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai were in the majority that day. So in the Sugya there, in the Yudches Gzeiris, in the Yudches Dover, so the Gemara has a strange line that Taisus has difficulty with. So the Mordechai says, no, what the Gemara said is the following. This Iser, out of respect for the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah with your bare hands, only applies if you didn't wash until it's a dime in advance. Maybe your hands are dirty. Stam yadayim shnei saying, so your hands may be dirty, so that's disrespectful to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. But if you wash them to the yadayim in advance, then you are permitted to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. But Tosfos does not agree with that. That's how the Mordechai read the Gemara. Tosfos has difficulty reading that questionable line in the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berura quotes from the Poskim, if it's Nevi'im Uksuvim, so it's Mutam Mitam Sveksveg. Maybe the din only applies to Sefer Torah, that you're not allowed to hold with your bare hands, because that's the Lashon HaGemara, Oichei Sefer Torah Orim, if you touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. And then on the other hand, maybe the din is like the Mordechai, that if you wash your hands in advance, then you're allowed to touch even a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to touch. With respect to Nevi'im Uksuvim, you have a Svek Svek if you wash your hands in advance. So that's what the Mishnah Berura writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. He should have written in Hilchas Purim, so the people will know, but he doesn't write in Hilchas Purim. He writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. When he writes the din that you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands, so he says, and even if you wash your hands in advance, it doesn't help, unless it's Nevi'im Uksuvim, then you have a Tziruf of a Svek Svek. And he says, that's what you should do on Purim. When you want to hold on to a Megillah and it has no Eitz Chaim, so then you should wash your hands in advance until it's done without a bracha, because according to Tosfos you accomplish nothing with that. According to the Mordechai it's legitimate, so you should really say a bracha. But according to Tosfos there is no such din, so you don't say a bracha.
Isn't there sometimes when the Tuma doesn't go down a level, it's okay, it's touching the Via Vesa Tuma or something else touching
it?
It
goes up.
But does it stay at the same level?
Taisa says to Akasha in the first daf in Bava Kama. First daf in Bava Kama, the Gemara says that Tume, when it's transmitted, always goes down a level. That it goes up, that's Legamre Midirabbanan. You have sometimes the Tume goes up. That's completely an invention of Midirabbanan. Yeah. But on the level of the Raisa, whenever the Tume is transmitted, it goes down. In fact, Taisa Akasha, what's with Cherev Hareu Kocholom? I went to a funeral, and I'm an Av HaTume, and then I touch Kli Mateches, I touch this thing over here, so I make this into an Av HaTume. Or we're at a funeral, so all the people who are there become an Av HaTume, because the Tume goes from the Mace, we call the Mace Avi Avos, and the Tume is transmitted to the living people, we become an Av HaTume. But if someone has a metal watch on, if someone has a spoon or a knife in his pocket, which is made from metal, so it becomes an Avi Avos HaTume. So Tosfos Frek the Kasha, the Gemara has a klal, whenever Tumah is transmitted, goes down. Here, Becher Horek Cholol remains on the same level. And for Tosfos, it's not on the same level, because the Rabbein Tam proves from Mishnais and Aholis that if you have a Becher Horek Cholol, it cannot make another Becher Horek Cholol. If it would have been really like the mace, like the Avi Avos, this spoon would make another spoon, Avi Avos HaTumah. And that's not. So Rabbein Tam says, I'll call upon him, the Tumah goes down a little bit. It doesn't go down from an Avi Avos to an Av, it goes down slightly. It's an Avi Avos, but on a lower level. Tumah goes down a little bit. Right? So the Mishnah Yadayim says when you wash until it's Yadayim, you have to wash Maim Shneim, you have to wash twice on the right hand and twice on the left hand. The first time you wash on the right hand is to remove the Tumah. But the water that lands on the hand does become Tumah. Not like dipping your hands in a mikveh, that you become tahar, your hands become tahar, and the water is not mekabel tumah. When you're pouring water on the hand, so it removes heimomer v'heimomer. On the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. No such thing that you pour water on your hands, you make a tahar. You always have to be tahar in a mikveh. But we're talking all midirabbanan. So when you pour a cup of water on the right hand, it removes the tumah, but the water becomes tumah. So they made a takana, you have to pour maim shniim to be metar that water. So the question is, amachlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid, when the Ramam quotes this, is that only with respect to one who wants to eat truma or one who wants to touch truma? Because the whole purpose of the netilas yadayim is to remove the tumah. Let's say a kohen is in the middle of eating. The kohen is eating truma, doesn't have to be bread of truma. He wants to drink wine of truma. He wants to eat an orange or an apple or a pear of truma. He also needs netilas yadayim. You want to touch a pear of truma or a cookie of truma, you have to wash netilas yadayim. Otherwise, it's going to be tumah. It has nothing to do with bread. Bread, that's for chulin. When you're eating chulin, you only need netilas yadayim for bread. You don't need for any other thing. But whenever you want to either touch truma or eat truma, then you always need netilas yadayim. So the question is, when the Mishnah requires maim shneim to remove the tuma, is that only with respect to a kohen who wants to eat truma, a person wants to touch truma? What if a person wants to eat bread of chulin? Bread of chulin has to do with tuma v'tara. We're all tumim meis mamish. We're all 100% tumim. A woman is a nida, a man is a balkari. We don't go to mikveh. With Tommy, the whole body's Tommy. Oh, forget about Yadayim Shnei Hashem. With Tommy from the top to the bottom. We're allowed to eat bread. So what the Netilas Yadayim for bread has to do with Tumah V'Tara? The Pashtus says that not. So what is Netilas Yadayim for bread all about? So Taisus writes in Chum, Mishum Nikiyas. Hygienic reasons, like non-Jews. Non-Jews insist you should wash your hands before you sit down to eat the food to get rid of the germs.
You wear gloves, you don't need to sit down.
So there's a din if it's a big shas atchak, so then you have to wrap your hands in gloves. If water is not available, if water is easily available, then you're not supposed to rely on that cooler. If water is not available, you have no brera, then we insist you have to put on gloves. So I remember. So that says Beferish, that's not good enough. Even though the piece of bread is wrapped in, I'm not touching the bread. That's not good enough. You have to have the hand should be wrapped, not that the sandwich should be wrapped up. And that cooler that you don't need until tonight, that's only when water is not available. Whenever water is available, so that cooler doesn't apply. That if you're wearing gloves, it's okay. So the shaila is.
So why do I have to pour water over? I mean, I could just wash my hands and I'm done.
I mean, Bizman HaZeh, we have a faucet with water. Bizman HaGemara, they had no such thing. They didn't have flowing water. So the Takanas Chachamim was, you got to wash with a cup. Has to be a cup, has to be able to stand like this. That was a Kach Tikton Chachamim.
Is this considered a keli like a cup in terms of washing your hands?
Is what considered a keli?
The faucet.
The Pashta says the faucet is certainly not a kli. A kli means a kli that holds water. It has to be able to, let's say if you have a paper cup that comes to a point on the bottom, and you can't put it down like this, it's gonna lean on the side. All the water is going to spill out. So that's not acceptable for Netilas Yadayim. You have to have a cup like this that sits in a container of ears. Or if you have, let's say, a paper cup that comes to a point on the bottom, then they have a plastic container to hold the paper cup. So the thing, as it's sitting, it can hold the reveas of water. So then it's acceptable to do the Netilas Yadayim. But the faucet doesn't hold any water. So the Tzitz Eliezer has up this fascinating tshuva. He says, but where does the water in the faucet come from? He said, it doesn't come directly from the river, from the ocean. It comes from some tank in the building, either on the roof or in the basement. There must be a tank of water. So he says, that has the status of a kli. So he thinks that if the water comes from the kli through the pipes and through the faucet, he thinks that that's called water coming from a kli, that's acceptable.
We just got through saying that Taisha said the whole purpose of washing is for hygienic reasons.
Right.
So where did all the chumras come from?
So that's what he asked before. So why can't I just wash my hands under the flowing water? So I suggested in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have flowing water. So they said, for hygienic purposes, you have to wash, and you have to do it along the same pattern after until it's a dime for truma. Until it's a dime for truma, you need a kli, kach tiknu. So until it's a dime for nikias, also you need a kli. So the shaila is, until it's a dime for truma is mishum tuma. So you have to have mayim rishonim and mayim shneim. What about until it's a dime for bread? It has nothing to do with the srach truma. Nothing to do with tuma v'tara at all. It's only Mishum Nikiyas, or are there two considerations, two reasons? Both, it's pattern after Truma, it has to do with Tuma V'Tara, plus Mishum Nikiyas. Maybe there are two considerations. So that's a machleika, is the Rambam and the Ravid. When the Mishnah is talking about Mayim Shneim, is that only when you're doing the Tilas Yadayim for the purpose of touching Truma or eating Truma, or even when you're eating bread? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote like the Ravid, that you need, the Rambam holds, you only need Mayim Shneim if it's an esek of truma. If it's an esek of eating bread, so it's only mishum nikiyas, it's only for hygienic purposes, and there's no need, it's the whole issue of tumah v'taras lamala v'lamarit. And the Ravid is masik, he says, no, Mishnah Yisyadayim goes on all the tilus yadayim. Tilus yadayim for eating truma, oranges and pears and apples, and cookies, and drinking wine, and the tilus yadayim for bread, for chulin. Everything needs mayim shneim. Everything is mishum tumah v'taras. The Chayodim has a suffix. That's a person washed until it's a dime, he's in the middle of eating a meal, then he touches a pair of tefillin. Middle of the meal, he realizes he didn't daven shacharis yet. Okay. It's possible. So he puts on his tefillin, and when you touch the ritzuas of the tefillin, it's metameis hayadayim. So the chayadim has a suffix, does he have to wash over again until it's a dime, because it was just metameis hayadayim? Or do you say, no, it's not necessary? So the Velt says that it depends. If you're talking about until it's yadayim to eat truma, that's mishum tumas hayadayim. So kisvei hakodesh and matamei nesayi daim makes the yadayim shniyos. So toigdachnish, and then you have to wash again. If it's nitilis, if he's talking about nitilis yadayim for eating bread, chulin, so then it should depend on the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Ravid, that all the mishnayos that require mayim shniyim apply both to truma and to eating bread and chulin. So there's an issue of tumah v'tara. You have to, even though the whole body is tummy from the top to the bottom, the guy's an undertaker. He deals with mason all the time. Or the woman is a nidor, the man is a balkari anyway, he's tummy anyway. But they made a special takona. You don't have to worry about the tumas kolaguf, you only have to worry about the tumas ayadayim. But you have to remove the tumas ayadayim. So if you touch the sefer Torah in the middle, touch the pair of tefillin in the middle, teiknesh, you have to wash over again. If you hold like the Rambam, that Netilas Yadayim for bread of chulin is only mishum niki, it's only for hygienic purposes. So what does it bother me if he touches sefer Torah in the middle, touch the tefillin in the middle? So what? You have tumas ayadayim. The whole body is tummy anyway. The Rambam holds that for the purpose of washing for bread, there's no issue of tumah v'tara. It's only an issue of nikiyus. I remember once someone asked my father Ashayla. He likes the gemara b'sedra in the middle of the meal on Shabbos, so he touches the chumash. Wants to know where the kisra kodesh on matamin is ayadayim. So the din is kisra kodesh on matamin is ayadayim. It's written on parchment. If it's a printed sefer, printed Tanakh, that's not matamin is ayadayim. That's a beferish din. So here,
why am I making a broker out of the kisra ayadayim? I mean, if it's all mishum nekiyus.
Kach tikton chachamim. Made it takana that you got to wash mishum nekiyus with a kli. You got to say a bracha. Yeah.
Why is Nagavash for 3 times?
Negavas is a different concern. The Gemara says there's an issue of Ruach Ra, and the Zohar says you only get rid of the Ruach Ra if you wash Beserigin. The right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. Then the Vilna Gaon says you have to wash 4 times. You have to wash the 4th time to wash off all the Mayim that are Tomei. Like you need Mayim Shniyim to get rid of the Mayim Tameyim. So says after you wash your hands 3 times, you succeed in getting rid of the Ruach Ra, but the water on your hands still going to have a Ruach Ra. So the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Berurah quotes for the Vilna Gaon, he's always makpid. Whenever you wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning, you have to wash 4 times. And there the Zohar says you have to alternate. But by Netilas Yadayim for bread, it's not because of Ruach Ra. You don't have to alternate. You pour twice on the right hand and twice on the left hand. It's not because of Ruach Ra.
Some people alternate by that also?
Pardon me?
Aren't there some people that alternate by Netilas Yadayim
I think that's a mistake. I think alternating is only the source is the Zohar by Ruach Ra. That's when you wake up in the morning. But for Netilas Yadayim for bread, the Rambam, the Gemara says when you wake up, the Gemara in the end of Brachas lists off all the Bichas HaShachar. When you wake up in the morning, wash Netilas Yadayim and say a Bracha. So the question is, what is that mitzvah midirabbanan? It's not a Chumash. What is that mitzvah midirabbanan all about? So the Rambam's opinion is that Netilas Yadayim in the morning is not only in the morning, it's before Shachris, before Mincha, before Maariv. Whenever you wash Tadavin Shmoneh Esrei, you have to wash and say a bracha. We don't follow the Rambam, we don't say a bracha, but the correct practice should really be, most people don't do this, the correct practice should be, you're supposed to wash your hands, supposed to take out a minute or two before you daven mincha, then before you daven maariv, and pour water on your hands. Once on the right hand, once on the left hand. You don't need mayim shniyim. It's not because of tumah v'tara. You pour once on the right hand, once on the left hand. The other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They say that al netilas yadayim in the morning is because of the Ruach Ra, and you have to get rid of it, and if you're awake a whole day, so there is no Ruach Ra by Mincha, by Maariv. Well, they say because when the person wakes up in the morning, it's like a Briya Chadosha. They give whatever explanations they give, but the explanations only apply to Shachris. When you wake up in the morning, it doesn't apply to Mincha and Maariv. So because of the Machloike, so that's why the more correct practice should be, everyone should wash Takeh, they should wash their hands with a cup of water before Mincha, before Maariv, without a bracha. There were those who the Vilna Gaon followed the Shita Sarama all the way. He used to wash before Mincha Maariv and he said a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim. So that most followers of the Vilna Gaon don't do that. They just wash their hands without saying a bracha. Rabbi Kiveger writes in his Ha'oris on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. They were contemporaries. Derech HaChaim Siddur was authored by the Nesivis. They lived in two different countries. Rabbi Kiveger lived in Germany and the Nesivis lived in Lithuania, I think. So they used to correspond with each other. Reb Kiveger considered the Nesivis the Gadol Hador. But the Nesivis divorced his wife, so the Balabatim fired him. So Reb Kiveger sent him a letter, how can you fire him? He's the Gadol Hador. What's the matter with you? You people are crazy. And he sent the whole letter. It was the wife's fault that he correspond, Rabbi Kivega corresponded with the wife that she should behave, and if she doesn't, the husband has the right to divorce her. It's an unfortunate chunk of history. So Rabbi Kivega wrote Ha'oris on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. Derech HaChaim is like a kitzur Shulchan Aruch by the author of the Nesivos, and is printed in the Siddur. Rabbi Kivega has here and there Ha'oris Halacha LaMaisa on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So one of the Ha'oris he has is like this: when you wake up in the morning, wash until it's not first thing, before you go to the bathroom, or right after you go to the bathroom, wash until it's a dime. But then you have to go get dressed, and then you have to put on your shoes. After you touch your shoes, you have to wash again in order to daven. So according to the Rambam, down until it's a dime, the bracha goes on the last time you wash before you daven. So what did they say, bracha on until it's a dime? That's not the last time you wash before you daven. So Rabbi Kivega writes his personal practice is that he washes six times. He didn't wash eight times. He washed six times. That was the Vilna Gaon washed eight times. He would wash his hands. He wouldn't say the bracha. He would say Asher Yotzar and Lakai and the Shamash and Satmi, whatever he say all the tefillos. Then the last time he would wash his hands before he would be about to daven, then he would say the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim. To be choshish for the Rambam's opinion that the bracha goes on the Tilas Yadayim that has to do with the davening. So that's a shaila. What did he gain by that's what Makshim Ha'olam. What did he gain by being choshish for the Rambam's opinion that the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim goes for davening? But according to all the other Rishonim, he's saying the bracha an hour after he should have said the bracha an hour ago. When he woke up first thing in the morning, wash until it's the dime sixth time, should have said the bracha then. So he's saying the bracha lachar asiyasam an hour later. He didn't daven 2 minutes after he washed until it's the dime. So that's a pilpul. So some attack Rabbi Kivega. They recommend you shouldn't follow Rabbi Kivega's eitz. And others do follow. Rabbi Kivega somehow taught that this is more correct. See, by many yekis, when they come to shul, so the chazan says, the first thing he says is until it's the dime. Chazan says Adon Olam. Then he says Adon Olam. Didn't wash his hands now. He washed his hands an hour ago. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a big machlokes. The Gemara says you're supposed to say the bracha always when you do a mitzvah. You're supposed to say the bracha Oyvel Asiyos. You can't say the bracha before you wash until it's Yadayim because you have a ruach ra. So until it's Yadayim is an exception to those. So you say the bracha right after. But the guy wakes up in the morning. Then he's going to go daven in shul an hour or two later. So what's he saying? Until he said, "I'm 2 hours after he washed his hands." La'achar asiyasam machloek is the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. Can you say a bracha la'achar asiyasam means right away la'achar asiyasam? Let's say now a lot of times the first minyan starts davening so early you can't say a bracha on a talis and tum. So you put on a talis and tum, you don't say the bracha. Then you're supposed to say the bracha after your shtabach. Or if it's still too early, then you say the bracha after tachnun. Fine. What if he forgot? He finished the whole davening. He's wrapping up his tefillin. Then he realized, he never said a bracha on the tefillin. He put on the tefillin at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was before Mishiachar Eschaveiro. It was too early to say a bracha. Then he never said a bracha. So that'll be a machlek, is the Rambam and the other. So the Rambam says, Mashanase Kvarnase Farfal. The bracha has to be recited before you put on the tefillin, or Kozman that you're still wearing the tefillin, still wearing the talus. Once you talk off the talus and tefillin, it'll be a bracha levatol. You shouldn't say a bracha. And the Ramah paskins that b'di'eved, if you didn't say the bracha before, Ramah in Hilchos Shechita says you can say the bracha after. After means right away after. As he's wrapping up the tefillin, hechaptzach that he didn't say a bracha, let him say that. But if he washes Natilas Yadayim in the morning, then an hour later, he goes to shul and he says, Adon Olam, then he says, An Natilas Yadayim. So that's, even according to the Ramah, that should be a bracha levatol. So the Shach quotes, there was a Yekesh Gadol, his name is Rabbi Avram, I forgot his last name, he wrote a Sefer Birchas Avraham. The Shach lived in the 1600s. So this Sefer Birchas Avraham was written sometime before. So he is a Yekesh Gadol, he complains about this Yekesh practice. Why say the Baruch Ana Tilas Yadayim? It's an hour after. Even if you hold that Lachar Asiyasim is acceptable, but it means immediately after. Immediately, right if you Shech the Behemah, and you couldn't say the bracha in advance, ala shechita, because you're not sure, it may turn out to be a treifa, you have cause to be concerned. Maybe this animal is a treifa. So you shecht it, and you check right away, and you see right away it's not a treifa. Then you say bracha ala shechita, because it's right after the first available opportunity, right after you did the shechita. Or you do a netilas yadayim, and you say the bracha before you dry your hands. Or the second after you dry your hands. But to wait an hour, then to say the bracha, so the Shach quotes, the Birchas Avram, has the taina, he doesn't think that's right. So that's the taina that they have on Rabbi Kivega over here. Rabbi Kivega said the bracha, when he washed the last time, he washed with a cup, before he's about to daven shachris, but that's an hour after he washed the Netilas Yadayim when he woke up. And according to most of the Shaitan, the Baruch HaNetilas Yadayim should have been then. So how can he say a bracha an hour later? That's the question. That's the question. He probably did what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He would wash without a bracha. We are machmer like the Rambam, that you're always supposed to wash until the Siddayim before you daven, but we don't follow the Rambam Shita that the bracha on until the Siddayim is in connection with the Netilah for davening. It's only when you wake up in the morning. If you remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to give the Shira Maria, so they used to start right away, Buhurachum. Right after he finished it, he said Buhurachum. So he didn't have a chance to wash his hands. But he never said Baruch Hashem Li'olam. So when he finished Hashkiveinu in the Chazan, everybody was saying Baruch Hashem Leon. He'd always run to the back of the shul quickly, and he was washing hands. Then he would run back to his seat before the Chazan got to, before the Chazan finished the Kaddish. So he felt that the washing, that you don't remember? No, he always did it. Yeah, he always did it. And the Shir also, when he finished the Shir, so he would run to the bathroom. It was just for half a minute. He didn't go to the bathroom. Lasa tzarcha. We don't wash his hands. Then he would run back. He didn't want to hold the students. Didn't want to make us wait. He didn't want us to be late for class, for college classes. So he would run, wash his hands, and run back to the classroom. So he was always makpid to wash for Shmoneh Esrei Ma'ariv. You don't have to wash for Birchas Kriyas Shma. You have to wash for the Shmoneh Esrei.
Rabbi Kibanger hold that it's still a Maisa Mitzvah Sima if you did it an hour after the first Netila. You still can make a bracha on it because you're doing a Maisa Mitzvah, even without a kiyum.
You want to be miyashiv, why it's not way lachar asiyosu? I don't know. According to most of the Rishonim, the brocha, the netilas yadayim that counts is only the netilas yadayim when you wake up in the morning. So it's an hour later. Well, how should that help? I don't know. I don't know. They must have had some good reason. Most assume that you don't need a cup. You just have to wash your hands three times. Some achrayim, the sharit shuva next to the behetim. Yeah, because some achrayim have such a kpeda, and some have a kpeda that when you go into a beis hakisa, even if you don't las the tzarach, go into a beis hakisa, ruach ruach shoyra, and you got to wash your hands, even if you didn't do anything. You just went in to take a tissue to blow your nose. Yeah, but that the Pashta says that's a beis hakisa, a real beis hakisa.
Right,
yeah, yeah, beis hakisa means full of tzoya, full of meir aglaim all over the place. And that's taka ruach ruach. But by us, by everything flushes right down. So the Pashta can say the Pashta says that our beis hakisa is not dinu ke beis hakisa. The Gemara says that beis hakisa, like the Romans had, doesn't have the din of a beis hakisa. So the Chayim are not sure what does that mean. They had a beis hakisa that when the person would be sitting on a seat, the tzoya would roll down right away, wouldn't sit there at all, or the tzoya would sit there for a minute or two, and then when the person would be finished, then he would flush it away. So our beis hakisa, the tzoya sits there for a moment until you flush it. So that's what the Minchas Aluza, the Minkach, and others, the Mesupik, what kind of a beis hakisa? Minchas Aluza talks about on the trains. I remember when I was a little boy, we used to go by train, so the train had a bathroom, and it was open, went on the tracks. So that's mamish. So Minkacha writes, that's mamish beis hakisa. That doesn't have a dinner beis hakisa, doesn't even sit there at all. But he has a suffix, what if it sits there for a while, then you flush it away, like ours now? So there's that dinner beis hakisa. So the plumber from YU is a Ben Torah. So he visited Eretz Yisrael, Moshe the plumber, Moshe Pizworski, he lives over here. So he visited Eretz. He wanted to see he said the beis hakisa is like ours. He said lahokel, theirs is a sense, not like on the trains. The beis hakisa that the Gemara says doesn't have a din of beis hakisa is the same as ours, that the tzoy would collect there for a moment and then you flush it down. So the Gemara says that it's not din of beis hakisa. It's only beis hakisa with the roch run everything if it sits there the whole time. It sits there for a month, for 2 months, it smells and so on.
Don't we say that if you use at least a revius, then you don't have to use a ranishim? It's an alternative way of washing.
Yeah. Yeah, just like if you turbo your hands in a mikveh that has aboim saw. So the pasuk says, mine aboim mikveh mine yihyeh tohor, your hands are tohor, the water is not makabel tumah. So since you need a revius of water, revius is the volume of the beitza machza, so revius, for the tilis adayim purposes, is treated like a mem saw in a mikveh. So if you pour a full revius, bevasachas, then you don't need maim shneim because the water was never makabel tumah in the first place. But if you're jaloving on the water and you only pour a little bit, you poured less than a revius because you don't have enough water to pour so much. So then you need Maim Shneim to remove the tumah of the Maim Rishon. That's right. A revius on each hand. If you pull a full, if you pour a full revius on the hand, then it's like avoim saw in the mikveh. Right. So now the Gemara says kala mezalzal bin, about 15 lines from the top of Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Abzerik, Amar Blazer, kala mezalzal bin tilas adayim nekem in oil. So Rashi says mezalzal means not once in a long while he doesn't wash until his adayim. His common practice is he's always in violation. A lot of times he'll eat without until his name. Does taste mezalzal, so he deserves a punishment. He should drop dead. Nekam in oilam. What kind of a chumra is this? So the Gemara in Erevin, we learned the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Erevin. Rabbi Akiva was put in prison by the Romans because he was teaching Torah, and they only gave him exactly lechem tzar, only a little bit of bread and water. And one of the Talmidim one day came to serve him the food in the prison. So there was hardly any water there. So he took the water, half of the water he poured on his hands to wash the tefillin daim, and he had left hardly any water to drink. So the Talmud asked him, Rebbe, you're going to die from dehydration. You have to drink water. You shouldn't wash until the tefillin daim. So he said, I'd rather die from dehydration then die from violation of the din of the tilis yadayim. The Chacham made a takana, you have to wash the tilis yadayim, and he didn't die from dehydration. He was killed by the Romans. He didn't die from malnutrition. He died because they killed him. So that's what the Gemara says over here. There must have been a lot of people who were not medactic on the tilis yadayim, so they're so strict about it. Mezalzal ben tilis yadayim, nekem in olam, he deserves to die. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Peretz Geder, Yishochenu Nochash. Whenever the Chachamim make a gzera de Rabbanon, and a person violates Gidron Shel Tamid Chachamim, Asay Siog La Torah. The Chachamim said, first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos said, Hey Mom Mishlosh Advarim. Anshek Nes Agdola said three things. So one of the three things was, Asay Siog La Torah. Siog means a geder. You have to make a harchoke. So the Pasuk says in Mishli, Poritz Geder, one who violates a Siog de Rabbanon, deserves to Yishochenu Nochash. He should be bitten by a snake, and he should die from the poison. So that's called the chivya de rabbanon, the rabbinic snake. The rabbinic snake is he should punish for violating the gzera de rabbanon. Sometimes the chivya de rabbanon means that he deserves to be put in cherem. Nochash is a Rosh Hashanah, neither cherem shamto. So a lot of times they write parts gadish shechena nochash, they write Rosh nun cheshin, they write with shtich halach to indicate that it's a Rosh Hashanah. Of Nidur Cherem Shamta. Nidur Cherem Shamta is a machlekes in Rishonim, are the three different degrees. Nidur Cherem are two different things. Shalas is Shamta is the third thing, or Shamta is the same as Cherem. That's a machlekes. Some say they're three different things. And they all use this as the Rosh HaTeres. Birds gather, Yishochenu Nochash, he should be bitten by the rabbinical snake, means the rabbi should put him a Cherem. And that Nekem Ne'olam means he should drop that, he should be punished by dying. So the Gemara is very harif about this din. It's a takanas chachamim, and it's a siog for tume by truma. By truma, it's a siog. So to apply it in the tilis yadayim is on the assumption that it's not mishum nikiyus. If you say that the tilis yadayim for bread is also mishum srach truma, it has to do with tume betara of truma. So then it's also a siog. If it's mishum nikiyus, it has nothing to do with a siog. It's not a say siog latar. It's not peretz geder. It's not a geder. He's not hygienic when he eats his food. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, he quotes the name of his Rebbe, Maim Rishonim Tzorach Sheyagvi Yodo Lamaylo, Maim Rishonim Tzorach Sheyashbi Yodo Lamata. So Rashi explains over here. The din is that Tumas HaYadayim, this din mid the Rabbanan, that only the hands are tum and the rest of the body is tor. So the Tumas HaYadayim is only on the Yad. How far does the Yad go? So this, they all agree, you don't have to wash till here. You don't have to wash till the elbow. Shalat, how far do you have to wash over here? So the Gemara in Chulin, in the beginning of Kol HaBasar, the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim is showing his students, you have to wash in Tilis Yadayim for bread till there, and for Duchening till there. So where is there and where is there? So Rashi says, Tilis Yadayim for bread is till here, till the wrist, and Tilis Yadayim for Duchening is till the elbow. No, nobody washes till the elbow. So obviously we're on Paschal like Rashi, we follow Tesis. So Tesis says, Tilis Yadayim for bread is till the knuckles, Tilis Yadayim for Duchening is till the wrist. A lot of times you see the Kohanim when they're washing their hands, the Levim are washing the Kohanim's hands, so they're wearing their watch very low down over here. So when they're pouring the water, they're careful. They don't want to ruin the watch. So they don't pour the water anywhere near the watch. So they think that's good enough because they wash past the knuckles. That's not right. The Ikar Adin, Taisa says, the knuckles, you only have to wash the fingers for Netilas Yadayim for bread, but for Netilas Yadayim for Duchani, you have to wash till the next joint, till the wrist. You have to wash all the way till the wrist. Same. The din is at Yom Kippur. It's only for din rechitza shaltainu. If the rechitza is l'shem davar achir, it's mutter. So let's say a person is tamei and he kolat tameim tovim kedarkam etishbav Yom Kippur. A tamei who goes to mikveh to remove the tumah is permissible because that's not called rechitza shaltainu. That's rechitza l'shem tahara. So the same thing for duchening purposes. The kohen is permitted to wash his hands for duchening purposes. And then the achrayim say, in many communities they have a minig based on the Zohar that the Levium wash their hands first before they wash the Kohanim's hands. So if that's the minig amokim, the Levium should wash their hands even on Yom Kippur, because that's not called Rechitza Shaltaining, since they're doing it the same minig amokim. So that's required. That's required. Also, a person is a chayli has to eat on Yom Kippur, wants to eat bread, he has to wash until the Siddayim. And there's no Issa Rechitza because that's not Rechitza Shaltaini.
I think initially they're supposed to wash their hands early in the morning up to the wrists, and then that would be Issa as well.
Right. The reason why is because the Tosfos has later in Sota Machlokes with Rashi. The din is Tekef L'Netila Bracha. What do you mean Tekef L'Netila Bracha? So the Gemara Brachas has it twice. Right after my machrenim, you have to bench immediately. You shouldn't wait. You shouldn't pause. That's one gemara. Then there's another gemara, tekef l'netila bracha. Right after washing the maim rishainim, before eating bread, you should say amotzi right away. You shouldn't dilly-dally. You shouldn't waste too much time. So Tosfos has a machlekes with Rashi. That din of tekef l'netila bracha, right after you wash, that's when you should say the bracha. What about duchening? Also, you have to wash immediately before you're about to duchen. All the Kohanim woke up in the morning, they washed until the Siddayim in the morning. So then when they want to duchen the Shachris or Musaf, they have to wash again. See, if they had to go to the bathroom in between, so they have to wash again, they have to wash their hands again. If they didn't go to the bathroom in between the Tilas Siddayim in the morning, so then Tosfos has a machlokes with Rashi. Do you require tekef l'netila bracha? So Tosfos has a we're machmer in the both directions. We're machmer to wash your hands again before the duchening, but we wouldn't require you to say a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim, because maybe the din is that the Tilas Yadayim in the morning covers the washing for duchening. But what happens, the Mishnah Berurah says, but what happens if a person, a kohen, washed his hands in the morning, and he knows he went to the bathroom, and then he wants to duchen on Yom Kippur, or Yontif, so then for sure he has to wash. Then l'chori he should say a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim, when he washes his hands before duchening. So then the Mishnah Berurah throws in Svara from the Levush. Maybe the Chachamim only instituted the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim when you're washing for bread or washing for truma. But if you're washing, according to the Rambam, washing for davening, to daven shachris mincha marg. But if you're washing to duchen, so the Levush throws in a Svara, maybe they will never misaken a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim for that. Why in the world should there not be a bracha? Nobody knows. You should say a bracha. Yeah. Beis HaMikdash, they probably did, because Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is Mamash HaMitzvah. Yeah, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is one of the mitzvahs. Yeah. So the Dogon Levavah writes like that. The Nodi Bihuda on the side of the Eridei writes, when you wash in the morning, that's the same as washing for bread. So according to Rashi, you have to wash till the wrist, and according to Tosfos, you only have to wash till the end, till the knuckles. So on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, when there's an Issa Rechitza, you're only allowed to do the Rechitza that's absolutely necessary. So only wash till the knuckles. But whoever is a kohen and plans to duchen later on, and is not going to say the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim when he duchens, because he wants to rely on the Tilas Yadayim that he did in the morning. So the kohanim in the morning should wash till the wrist and say the bracha, because they're not going to want to repeat the bracha later on. Maybe you don't need tekef l'netil bracha for duchening purposes. So that's what the Dogon Mavava says, what he just mentioned. The kohanim who wash their hands in the morning on Yom Kippur should wash all the way to the wrist and rely on that bracha later. You shouldn't repeat the bracha later.
According to the Rambam, not only Shachar,
yeah, yeah. Every time you have a tefillah.
How many tefillahs do you die in? Could it include Asher Yotza as well? In other words, washing twice on each hand. So to include both the mercy that you're going to make and both ashayot, so what you will have to do. If you went to the bathroom and you're going to eat at the same time, so you could do one natila for both.
Strictly speaking, you can do one natila for both. Some recommend the Shulchan Aruch that you should wash separately. You should wash and say ashayot zar, and then wash again and say out until it's a dime for the bread.
That's like a bracha shenet shifa, no?
No, it's not a bracha shein tzricha, it's an atila shein tzricha. Washing twice. Washing twice. Most people. No, you're not saying a bracha. You're doing an extra atila.
Some recommend that for the ashayasa, you shouldn't do a complete atila, you should.
Without a cup. If you wash vashayotza without a cup, so then there's no oishayla. So you wash your hands, then you wash again with a cup, and you say the bracha until it's not. The issue is going to be, if you're going to do only one netila with a cup, to cover both vashayotza, the person went to the bathroom and wants to eat a sandwich now. He's going to do one netila, so what bracha does he say first? So if he's going to say first, you should really say out until it's a daim before he washes his hand, but it just came out of the bathroom. So he can't. And the minhag usually is that everybody says anatil sadaim after they wash. He's going to say anatil sadaim. Then he has to dry his hands. The bracha should be over lasiyas before he finishes drying his hands. So then one's going to say ashayotzar before he says hamoitzi. It's not right. So you got to wait till after you say hamoitzi, till after you swallow a little bit. So more correct is, you say ashayotzar right away after you come out of the bath. If a person didn't say ashayotzar right away, waits 5, 10, 15 minutes, he says ashayotzar later, unless he has to go to the bathroom again. So let him go again and then say one ashayotza. But if he went to the bathroom and he still didn't say ashayotza, and it's half an hour later, he says ashayotza. But more correct is to say right away. So that's why they say it's an asik. You're going to wash your hands, you're going to say first ashayotza, then on the tilas yadayim. So then it's not correct. The broch on the tilas yadayim should be more mitzurif to the washing. So you should say on the tilas yadayim, then dry your hands, and not be mapsik. Say ashayotza after you swallow hamaitzi, so it's too long a pause. So that's why some recommend that you should wash twice. First wash and say ashayotza, then wash a second time with the cup and say anatil sedai.
Is the reason that you should say ashayotza right away because if you wait long enough, you're going to have to go to the bathroom again, you're only going to get one ashayotza rather than two? Or regardless?
No, whenever a person sees lightning or hears thunder or he sees the ocean or he sees the Mediterranean, whenever you see something that requires a bracha, so we'll say the bracha right away. Some say you should say the bracha tukkadei dibur after hearing the lightning or after seeing the lightning or hearing the thunder. So one should say the bracha right after he comes out of the bathroom. First time, he should say the bracha ashayotza. That's one concern. He may wait too long and then he'll lose the ashayotza. Another concern is the bracha should always be, it's related to his healthy body, so he should say it right away after he experienced the beis hakisa. So let's see again the Gemara. The Gemara says when a person washes Maim Rishonim, so again, so Rashi quotes the Mishnah and explains what's going on. How much of the hand do you have to wash when the tilis is thine purpose? So Rashi says you have to wash till the wrist, and for duchening you have to wash till the elbow. We don't follow Rashi. We follow Tosi. You only have to wash till the knuckles, and the tilis is thine. For duchening you have to wash till the wrist. We have a lot of water in America. It doesn't cost so much money. So it may as well be machma like Rashi. So, and the Gemara says it's. Mora says an Arabin, it's a school of Farashiris to wash with an extra amount of water. So we shouldn't be cheap on the water, so we should pour a lot of water on the right hand twice on the left hand, use a lot of water. So Rashi says like this, the hand is only, according to Rashi, the hand is only, Tumas Ayadayim is only up until the wrist, and past the wrist there's no Tumas Ayadayim, and there's no Inyan of Tumas Ayadayim past the wrist. According to Tosfos, Tumas Ayadayim is only up until the knuckles and not past. So the Gemara has like this, if I'm going to wash until it's a daim, my hands are going to be like this in a downward position. I'm going to wash like this. I'm going to wash like this. So the water may roll. My rishayim is going to be tummy. So that unless I use a whole revius. But if I don't use a whole revius, I'm saving on the water. I'm a little cheap on the water. So I'm going to, the water, my rishayim will become tummy. And the mayim tameim will roll down past the point where the hand is tummy, where the maim is matayer. So according to Rashi, that point is the wrist. According to Tosfos, that point is the knuckles. So if you'll be washing, let's say according to Tosfos, the fingers are tummy, sheni. When you pour a little water less than a revius, that water is makabel tumah, is going to roll down over here, and then I'm going to pour Mayim Shniyim. So this halacha that it says in the Mishnah that the Mayim Shniyim get rid of the tumah, that's only if the water is on the location where it became tummy. But if the water is outside of that location, the Mayim Shniyim are not metayrit. So if he's gonna pour the water like this, and then the Mayim Mishanim gonna roll back down, then all the Mayim Shniyim in the world is not gonna help to remove that tumah. So that's what the Gemara says. Mayim Mishanim Tzoch Shiyakdiya Yodav Lamaylam. He should hold his hands up like this, so the water will only roll down this way. The water won't roll back from over here. Either according to Rashi, past the wrist, it won't roll back. According to Tais, it won't roll back from this part of the body till the fingers. Mayim, that's as far as Mayim Mishanim is concerned. As far as Mayim Achranim is concerned, Mayim Achranim, you don't have to wash the whole finger or the whole hand. You just wash the tips of the fingers. So the purpose of Mayim Achranim is to get all of the salt off the Mayim, the Melach Sedoimus, or the greasy fingers. There's Mana Gemara, the whole world ate with their fingers. This is a recent invention that people eat with a fork and a knife and a spoon and so on. Everybody in the days of the Gemara, everybody ate. They ripped apart the chicken, they ripped apart the flesh. They had a big knife out to cut, but everybody ate with their fingers, not only the Hasidim. That was an alter meaning. The Goyim and the Jews, everybody ate with their fingers. The fingers are going to be greasy, huh? So the din is that Kishem, the Gemara has a lashon, Kishem Shemazuham, Posel Lavoida, Kach Yadayim Zoham is Psulus Lebrocha. Just like if you have a korban, that's not a Balmum. You have a carbon, it's not a balmum, but it looks old and sickly. So you're not allowed to be makrivit on the mizbeach. If you have a koyin, he's not a balmum, but he looks old, he's falling to pieces. So mizuham is pasala, but a kach yadai mizuham is, if the fingers are sticky, is pasala bracha. You're not allowed to say any bracha, bar nefashas either. Not only benching after bread. You're not allowed to say bracha achrena if the fingers are sticky. Vasay sticky, that's a relative concept. Today, we eat with forks and knives, so we don't have sticky fingers. So we would be makbid. I wouldn't want to touch my jacket or my shirt or the Gemara or the Sefer with sticky fingers. I'll make grease marks all over the place. So that's called Yodai Mizuhamas. Years ago, maybe they were full of grease stains, and maybe people didn't bother them. So the din is you need Mayim Achrena for two reasons. You want to remove the Melach Sedoimus that he shouldn't rub it in his eyes, because he can cause trouble to his eyes if he rubs in the salt. And secondly, even if you live in a place where Melach Sedoimus is not available, there's no chashash of rubbing in your eyes. But there's the other issue: kishem she yadayim zohamis, kishem she mezuam pasal lavoid hakach yadayim zohamis psulus lebracha. You're not allowed to bench. You're not allowed to say bar nefoshes. You need my machreinu to say bar nefoshes also if your fingers are sticky. So that's what the Gemara says, since the whole purpose of Mayim Achranim is to get the stickiness off of the fingers, off of the tips of the fingers, to get the salt off of the tips of the fingers, so you should really hold the fingers down. When you pour, you should hold like this, so the stickiness and the salt should drip down. So this is the long Rashi, where the Rashi explains what Netilas Yadayim is all about. The Shad is, according to the Rambam sheet, that Netilas Yadayim Lechulin has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tari. You don't need Mayim Shniyim. So what's the whole kpeda to hold your hands like this, to hold your hands like that? Gemara is talking about eating truma. You have to hold your hands up like this, that the adayim, that the water shouldn't roll back down. You're talking about kohanim eating truma. You're not talking about eating bread. The whole Gemara is talking about kikalechem. The whole Gemara is talking about washing until it's time for eating bread. So the pashtus in the Gemara is like the raiva, that you do need mayim shniyim for until it's adayim for bread. There is a concern of tumah v'tara for one who wants to eat bread also. That's the pashtus on the Gemara. That is how the Gemara Tanya Nami Hocha. We have a brisa that supports what Rab said. The first one said it. He thought that Rab invented the chumah. The Gemara says no. Tanya Nami Hocha. There's a brisa that says what he quoted from Rab. Hanotel Yodav. Want to wash until Zadaim. Tzach Shiyakbiya Yodav Lamayla. Should hold his hands up like this. Why? Shemayetz Amayim Chutz LaPerek. Whatever the perek is. According to Rashi, the perek is lower down past the wrist. According to Taisus, the perek is lower down past the knuckles. So some of the Mayim Rishonim will go there. And then when he's going to pour Mayim Shniyim, it's only Metahar, the Mayim Rishonim, that's on the Mokum Hatumah, only on the part of the hand that needs Netilas Yadayim. And then the Mayim Rishonim will roll back down, be Metamis Hayadayim all over again. That's what he says, Shem Yetzah Mayim, the Mayim Rishonim will go Chutz L'Perek, V'yachzer Metamis Hayadayim, and it'll roll back and be Metami again. That's the Gemara. The upshot of the story is we have to be careful about Netilas Yadayim Lepas. The Gemara says a serious punishment, Nekam and Oilum. And Rabbi Kiva was in prison. The Tosafot quotes the Gemara of Marathon. Rabbi Kiva was in prison, so half of the water he would use for washing Netilas Yadayim. That was a Chumrah. Mikra Adin, Pikuach Nefesh, a Safik Pikuach Nefesh, is Decha Kola Tarukula. But he was a holy Tana, and he went Lifnei Mishura Sadin, and he pulled through. He didn't die from dehydration. He died because they killed him. Whenever there's a suffix, you don't have to wash until the Siddai. When I'm going to do the Chumrah of Rabbi Kiva. But the Gemara tells a story to emphasize how important the Inyan of the Tilas Yadayim is.
According to Taisha, when you do the knuckles, the breath has something to do, the Hamotzi Lachem in the Arts, which is 10 words, have to do with the 10.
The Gemara says you should hold the bread with all of the 10 fingers, and Taisha points out Hamotzi has 10 words in it, and there are 10 mitzvahs that you do, that you perform until you get the bread. The number 10 plays a significant role.
That's why he
said this is a minhag to divide for each finger separate.
Yeah, that's the next Gemara. We'll get to that Belinetta next week. Yeah. The Gemara talks about drying your hands. When do you have to dry your hands? So we have to learn what's the reason why you have to dry your hands. In Parsha Shmois, we have Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Nevuah. He should go back to be a Shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring Geula for Bnei Yisrael. And then he had a baby who was just born and hadn't yet performed the bris milah on the baby. So it says, but he had a nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He has to go quickly. So it says, Vahib Baderech Bamalon, on his way back to Eretz Mitzrayim. So he's taking care of the arrangements to stay over in the hotel. And a malach comes, Vayivakesh Laham Misa. And the malach wants to give Misa V'day Shemaim. Malach wants to kill him. Well, what's the Aveira? He wasn't mal his baby. Anayadin, that if a father doesn't take care of the meal of the bain, the father is chai misa b'dei shamayim. There's a punishment of kores. The Mishnah in the beginning of krisis lists off the 36 krisis. Lamed vav krisis hamuras batera. So all of the chayvi krisis are for people who violated averis. One who does malacha b'shabbos, one who eats chametz b'pesach, one who eats on Yom Kippur, and so on and so forth. Chela v'dam, yit chela v'dam, chayvi krisis. And then there are two that are mitzvah sesa. A Pesach la'amila, one who doesn't mal himself, the child who doesn't mal himself, after bar mitzvah, is chayv koris. The machlokes is the Rambam and the Raiva, doesn't mean he goes through his whole life and he dies and he was never mal himself, or the day he was bar mitzvah and he waits till tomorrow, he wasn't mal himself, he's already chayv koris. Even though the day after he's going to be mal himself. That's our shayla, the machlokes is the Rambam and the Raiva, the Rashi and Tosfos. We learned it in Makkos, when we learned Masechas Makkos a couple of years ago. But that the father never has an onish of kores. So what does it mean over here? The malach vayivakesh hamisa, and the malach wants to give him a punishment of misa b'dei shamayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was first taking care of the hotel arrangements, and he should have first taken care of the bris milah. Where do you find the punishment of misa b'dei shamayim for the father as a big pella? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Perigid Anoshe. The Rambam interprets Machlokes HaTanoim there in the Mishnah as follows. The Rambam quotes a Medrash that the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was clearly given to Yankov Abonov. Once the Malach broke Yankov Avinu's leg, so the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given. But the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanoim whether Nafkamina Alocha Lamaisa, whether Gid Anoshe was given then or only is given at Har Sinai. The Rambam says, no, Avada the mitzvah was given then. That's Beferish. The Machlokes says, why do we today, so many centuries later, why are we obligated to observe the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe? Is it because the mitzvah was given to Yankov Avinu from that time on it's binding Leon Avod? Or no? The only time mitzvahs are binding is if they're given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. Adon HaNevi'im means only what he says. Other Nevi'im are given Hayru Ashor. The only ones given Adin L'Doyros is Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam says, that's how we paskin. We paskin that Gid Anoshe was given to Yankov Abonov, but the reason why we today observe it is not because it was given to Yankov. At that time, the Gid Anoshe was only given as a Hayru Ashor. It was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai as a Din L'Doyros. Then the Rambam says, and the same is true, once you know this Mishnah, the same is true regarding Bris Milah. We today are obligated to observe Bris Milah, not because it was given to Avram Avinu, that was only given as a Hayru Ashor. What it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, that it's L'Doyros Olam, that was added later. The Rebbe Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu to put in, but the Rebbe Shlom didn't tell Avram Avinu that it's L'Doyros Olam. He told Avram Avinu, this is a Hayru Ashor for a couple of years. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu Harsina was given the Torah, so he was told that the mitzvah of Mila will be binding throughout all the future generations. So we have a din in the Chumash, it's a Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin, that one is Oiv al Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Menachas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu given a Novi, so whoever violates any Avera in the Chumash is called Oiv al Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. He talk a little Lashon Hara, a little juicy Lashon Hara, he Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu gezokt, he's not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. A person wakes up late in the morning and he missed his man Kriya Shema, so he's Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have to recite Kriya Shema Bizmano. How can that be? The Brisa lists off which Averis had Misa B'dei Shemayim. A list that's shorter than 15. Between 10 and 15 Averis there. How can it be? All the 613 mitzvahs have Misa B'dei Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, so whoever violates Oiv al Divrei Novi is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So various terutzim are given. So Rav Soloveitchik many years ago said a teretz, 60, 70 years ago said a teretz. And now that's the commonly accepted teretz on this kasha. Oiv al Divrei Novi chai Misa B'dei Shemayim is only if the Novi says it b'toras ha'ruah shor, b'toras nevuah. That's what nevuah means by definition, ha'ruah shor. Moshe Rabbeinu, some of the things he said were b'toras ha'ruah shor, and a lot of things that he said were b'toras mitzvahs l'doras. Moshe Rabbeinu said they shouldn't leave over the mon till tomorrow morning. Everyone should knock on the neighbor's doors to get matonis before they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. That's a hayruah shor. So if a person will not want to, a person will leave over month to the next morning. That's oiv al divrei novi chayim misa b'dei shemayim. If a person will not want to knock on the next door neighbor's door and to ask for matanis, that's oiv al divrei novi chayim misa b'dei shemayim. Oiv al divrei novi means he violated a tzivu which is b'toras hayruah shor. If a person violates one of the tariag mitzvahs a din that's noig l'doras, that's not called a oiv al divrei novi. By definition, al divrei novi means divine nevuah hayruah shor. So koyde matn Torah, the gid anoshe with the mitzvah of mila were hayruah shor. They weren't given l'doras. So that's why we understand very well why vayivakish hamiso, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not taking care of the bris of his son. L'doras, there is no such din that the father's chay misa b'dei shemayim if he's not mal his son. No, the din haTorah we have a whole system of onshin. You have skila, sreif, herik, chenik, malchus, misa b'dei shemayim, koris. All kinds of punishments. There is no punishment for the father who is not metapala in the bris mila of the child. But koydem maimon hasinai, and the din of bris mila is only known through Avram Avinu, and was only given by Torah HaRosha. It didn't become a din of Torah till Moshe Rabbeinu Selim, till it was repeated by the Adon Hanavim. So koydem matan Torah, the din of bris mila, like the din of Gid Anoshe, was by Torah HaRosha. So taka, one who violates HaRosha is Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. The father should be Mala child. That was the Hiroshima. Yeah. No, it's good. Thank you. So you know any business that you need some of them, they are very good with God. He was an investor. He went from the investment.